Tomorrow is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Today's installment of Present at the Creation highlights the origins of the Lincoln Memorial here in Washington, D.C. From any perspective, the Lincoln Memorial is impressive. Eric Martin is a park ranger who's worked at the memorial for nearly 8 years.
The memorial weight tonnage, 38,000.
It's big. I didn't think it was this big.
Memorial length, east and west sides, 257 feet. North and south sides, you have 187 feet. Chamber height is 60 feet.
It's massive. It's so clean and bright.
The statue itself is 19 feet. If the statue of Mr. Lincoln were to stand up all the way at about 28 feet high.
I think it's enormous. I hadn't realized it was going to be quite so huge.
Building the Lincoln Memorial was an enormous undertaking. Marble was hauled to Washington, D.C. from Tennessee, Alabama, and Colorado. Some blocks weighed 23 tons. For the foundation, workers had to dig up to 65 feet underground to reach solid rock. After decades of debate on how to honor Lincoln, Congress hired architect Henry Bacon to take charge of the project in 1914. Bacon's design consisted of two elements. First, the structure, a Greek-like temple that would stand on the banks of the Potomac River in line with the Washington Monument and the U.S. Capitol. The second was made up of specific reminders of Lincoln's legacy. These included allegorical paintings depicting some of Lincoln's principles, inscriptions of Lincoln's words, and, of course, a statue. Christopher Thomas is author of the forthcoming book, The Lincoln Memorial and American Life. He says Bacon labored over how he would portray Lincoln.
Lincoln seems to have stood up and sat down several times in his mind. A seated figure was the time-hallowed way of representing a dead statesman or a dead philosopher. The archetype was probably the colossal seated figure, the gold and ivory seated figure of Zeus in the temple at Olympia. And Lincoln, because of the reflective, meditative, rather sad character attributed to his presidency, naturally lent himself to being represented seated.
It was actually Henry Bacon's friend, Daniel Chester French, who decided Lincoln should be sitting. French was hired to sculpt the statue. He was one of the nation's leading artists at the time. Working in his New York City studio, he modeled the statue using plaster casts of Lincoln's hands and face, made 5 years before the president's death. When French finished, the statue was so large it had to be assembled piece by piece inside the memorial. When it came to choosing the words that would best represent Lincoln's legacy, there was little doubt. Harold Holzer is author of The Lincoln Image.
The inaugural from 1865 and the Gettysburg Address are classics in the political literature and any kind of American literature. I don't think anyone ever doubted that those would be the words that were incised in the memorial.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation,
conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing
whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met.
While the choice of the speeches for the Lincoln Memorial was obvious, the motive behind those choices is still being argued today. Historian Christopher Thomas believes that Lincoln's role as emancipator of slaves was downplayed because of the mood in America after World War I.
There were racial riots in a number of American cities following the end of the war. This was also the Jim Crow period. Lincoln had been a controversial figure for so long in Washington that the authorities were deadly afraid of raising any awkward and embarrassing questions. So the question of slavery and emancipation and all racial matters are definitely played down. They're referred to obliquely in the second inaugural and in one of the murals. The mural over the Gettysburg Address is called the Emancipation of a Race. Even the name, even the title of the mural is evasive. But this was the prevailing mood in Washington at the time.
But Lincoln scholar Harold Holzer sees the Lincoln Memorial differently. He says saving the Union really was Lincoln's priority.
Because unless you save the Union, nothing was possible. Democracy wasn't possible. Freedom wasn't possible. Free elections weren't possible. Despotism was inevitable, of which slavery was an example. But if you read the words of the second inaugural address, those powerful words condemning slave owners and the whole notion of slave owning, saying that the nation in a way had to expiate this terrible sin in order to survive and to emerge revived, then I think there can be no doubt that slavery had taken on a very deep meaning for Lincoln as a rationale for the war, and that he intended to lead the country into sensing that and to accepting that.
The Lincoln Memorial was completed in 1922. Since then, it's been the backdrop for hundreds of public demonstrations, civil rights rallies, Vietnam War protests, and the Million Man March. On a busy day, nearly 15,000 visitors ascend the memorial steps. Harold Holzer says while the immense memorial might not seem to fit the notion of Lincoln as modest and self-deprecating, it is very much the heroic image he deserves and might have liked.
It's an extraordinary work because it combines both the accessible Lincoln and the magisterial Lincoln. He's sitting, gazing down at the viewer as if he can be approached, as if he is there to give advice or guidance. At the same time, he's gripping a chair whose woodwork is made up of the classical fasces, and in the days before the rise of fascism, that was a legitimate and accepted symbol for state power. So it's a combination of authority and accessibility that he probably would have approved of.
More than stone and design, the Lincoln Memorial stands as a place where both patriots and protesters find meaning and comfort, assuring that this powerfully American symbol endures. Next week on Present at the Creation, the story behind another image of an American president, Emmanuel Lutz's painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.